والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب وقال تبارك وتعالى لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we find that the current climate in which we live, where the economy seemingly is constantly on a downhill curve, the marketplace is very fierce, competition is very vicious, we find that there is a worldwide search for inspiration, for motivation, or something that will push the individual to the next level, that will take him one step ahead. If we have to look into the Holy Quran, we find that time and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past. And the purpose of relating and narrating these incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلَّنْ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلْ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That, O Messenger of Allah, these incidents, these stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam of the past, what is the purpose? What is the goal behind narrating these incidents? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The purpose is to strengthen your heart so that these incidents may become a means of motivation, a source of inspiration for you. As Muslims, as believers in the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to understand that our source of inspiration, our means of motivation, our avenue from which we take guidance is only the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other avenue of guidance. There is no other door of guidance. There are no other solutions to our problems and difficulties. When it comes to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, we find in some incidents, in some places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates an entire chapter, entire surah of the Holy Quran to speak about the life of one Nabi. Surah to Ibrahim, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah to Yunus, the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah to Hud, the story of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. But when it comes to Surah to Yusuf and the story of the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all mankind, is addressing the greatest human being to set foot on the surface of this earth, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is Allah saying to him? We are narrating to you the best of stories. In this world, we know if a person reads some best-selling novel from an award-winning author, he will read it perhaps once, twice, thrice. Eventually, he will find no enjoyment in reading that novel. And he will become bored of it, he will become tired, and he will search for something else. But when it comes to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, then ask those who know the Arabic language and who are acquainted with the tafsir surrounding the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, each time a person opens the Holy Quran and reads the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it keeps a person enchanted. It keeps him fascinated. It keeps him riveted. What is the reason? The Quran is not the speech of some mortal being, but it is the kalam and the speech of Rabbul Alameen, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his life story is well known. But there are many lessons that you and I can learn from the different challenges, the different difficulties that faced him. In the opening verses of Surah to Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dream that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen as a young boy. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam goes to bed and he sees in his dream 11 stars, the sun and the moon, and all of them are bowing down in prostration to him. So he turns to his beloved father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya abati inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Oh my beloved father, I have seen something disturbing, something extraordinary, something that I have never seen before. It is bothering me. What is your guidance? What is your advice? What is your counsel? The first lesson ulama ikram explain is that this young boy, he sees something in his dream, something that is affecting him, disturbing him, troubling him. Something extraordinary, which is the first avenue that he turns to. Ya Abati, oh my beloved father. Something is going on and I need your advice, I need your guidance, I need your counsel. Let us ask ourselves in today's time, which youngster is ready to turn to his parents? It is generally the friends over family, the peers over the parents. Whereas a person's parent, the father or mother, who has complete love, complete affection, who has the best interests of their child at heart, the parents are experienced in life, but yet we find that the youngster will turn to his friend, who has no real link with him, no real love for him, no real care and concern for him. He is inexperienced. But that is the first avenue. That is the first door that we knock on. And here, my respected brothers and elders, the blame is not only from one side. Why are the youngsters not coming to us? Why are our children not speaking to us? But rather, as parents, we should also shoulder part of the blame. Have we created a safe haven for our children in our own homes? Have we made it such that the environment is conducive to them discussing their issues, their problems, their difficulties? Perhaps that young child may have some issue at school, or something bothering him in the university. But even more worrying than that, speak to those who are in the university and hear the challenges that are facing our youth as far as their aqaid and beliefs are concerned. Doubting the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doubting the existence of life after death, doubting the authenticity of the Holy Quran. It should not be that my son, my daughter is faced with these doubts, with these worrying thoughts that are coming into his or her mind. And they do not turn to us as parents. And then months down the line or years down the line, we find atheism starts to spread. We find this child has gone off the track. They have mixed with the wrong crowd. And now as parents we sit back and wonder, where did it all go wrong? So for us to take some of that blame, have I created a safe haven in my own home? Do my children trust me enough to come and confide in me their worries and their problems? The first lesson we learn from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Abati, he turns to his beloved father, what is your guidance? I need your counsel on this issue. Without your input I cannot go forward. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam then proceeds to advise his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that, oh my beloved son, I am happy for you, I share in your joy, but do me one favor, do not share and do not narrate this dream of yours to anybody, leave alone your own brothers. Why? فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. Lest they may find some jealousy in their hearts, some envy towards you, they may then begin to plot against you, and this will lead to your downfall, this will lead to your destruction, therefore keep your achievements to yourself. The second lesson ulama ikram explained, that whenever a person achieves something in his life, do not rush to share this in the public domain. We find that today a person achieves something in his life and immediately the WhatsApp status is updated, the Instagram picture is uploaded, social media is buzzing, I have to share my achievement. You do not know, perhaps you are rejoicing and celebrating the birth of your second, third, fourth child. But somebody is looking at that picture and that post, and they are filled with grief, their wife has just had a miscarriage. Perhaps you are rejoicing, you have been promoted in the workplace. And somebody else is viewing that post, he has just been retrenched. Perhaps you are rejoicing, you have purchased a new car, you have just done renovations to your home. But somebody else somewhere is struggling to put food on the table. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam advises his son, do not rush to share your achievements in the public domain. Leave alone the public, but your own brothers, people in your own household. How many a times we find that among two brothers, and perhaps one brother's children are very intelligent, they are passing with flying colors. The other brother's children are not so intelligent. But every achievement that this child, every milestone he comes to, every achievement he gets in his life, we want to share it, we want to broadcast it. That which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came many years after Yaqub alayhi salatu wa sallam and explained in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Al-aynu haqqun, that the evil effect of a jealous eye is a reality. Somebody is looking at you, he is seeing you moving forward, he is seeing you going up in life. It should not be that his heart is paining, he has jealousy, he has envy, and this leads to your downfall and your destruction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for his grandsons Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. U'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma wa min kulli aynin lamma. That I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection for you from every shaytan and devil, from every evil creature, wa min kulli aynin lamma, and from the evil effect of the jealous eye. He is making dua for his own grandsons. What we can say with yaqeen and certainty that they had royal blood flowing in their veins. Which person in today's time can claim that my achievement is greater than theirs? My honor is greater than theirs. What status they must have held in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the eyes of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for them. May Allah protect you from the evil effect of the jealous eye. It is for us to take a lesson. One is the spiritual aspect. Somebody may be looking at you. Somebody may have jealousy. And together with that in our country, with the aspect of crime, a person is sharing his achievements. He's posting pictures of his new vehicle, his newly renovated home. This is only inviting disaster and trouble. Therefore, our achievements, keep it to ourselves. Share it with those who are close, near and dear to you. People who are well-wishers towards you. But thereafter, do not put it out there. Do not invite curses upon ourselves. Do not invite destruction upon ourselves. Moving on in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it is well known that his father had a soft spot in his heart for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So on one occasion, his brothers get together. And they discuss amongst themselves that it seems as though Yusuf and his brother Binyamin have a special place in the heart of our father. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ. But the reality is that we are a strong group of young men. Yusuf and his brother are still young. If our father is in some difficulty, he needs some assistance, we are the ones that will assist him, not Yusuf and his brother. So therefore, in order to earn the love of our father, in order to snatch this title away from Yusuf, اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ أَوِطْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Let us try and put an end to the life of Yusuf. In other words, to achieve our goal and our objective, we will stop at nothing short than murder. Why? Because this jealousy was burning in their hearts. That somebody else is enjoying the spotlight. Somebody else has fame. Somebody else is moving ahead in life. This aspect of jealousy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our mashayikh and ulama, who have explained to us that this aspect of jealousy is a killer disease. Because a person can be earning R1 million a month also, but he will never rest until he does not see his mahsood, the person whom he has jealousy for, until he does not see him go down, he will not rest. He will never be at ease. He may be moving ahead himself, his business is booming, his family life is prospering. But as long as somebody else is one step ahead of me, I will never be happy. Whether it be in the business field, whether it be somebody who is more intelligent than me, somebody who has more children than me, somebody who has more name and fame than myself. It should not be that we are looking at somebody else and forgetting our own hereafter. Therefore, the ulama of the tasawwuf have explained that this disease of jealousy, there are two remedies, two solutions to take out this disease from a person's heart. The first remedy is that a person should praise his mahsood, the person who he has envy and jealousy for, praise him in front of other people. This may sound like something very simple, but at that time when you are in a gathering of close friends, and a third person is not there, he is somebody who you have jealousy for, you're trying to run him down, at that time to speak highly of him, to praise him, is extremely difficult. But ulama explained that speak highly of him, praise him, enumerate his good qualities, and you will find within a short time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create love in your heart for him, love in his heart for you. And the second remedy is that in his absence make dua for him. The riwayat of Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُوا لِأَخِيهِ فِي ظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ إِلَّا وَقَالَ الْمَلَكُ آمِينَ وَلَكَ بِمِثْلٍ. That there is no person who makes dua for his Muslim brother in his absence with sincerity, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels to say Ameen. Not only do they say Ameen to your dua for him, but Allah then commands them that you make that same dua in respect of the person making the dua. You are making dua for him to prosper, the angels are making dua for you. You are making dua for Allah to give him more, the angels are making the same dua for you. But on the other hand, it should not be that I am plotting his downfall, I am cursing him, I am hoping and wishing that he falls and he slips and he makes a mistake, and at the same time the angels are cursing me back and making the same dua for me. So two solutions to rid ourselves of this remedy. Praise the person in front of others and make dua for him in his absence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure and remove this disease of jealousy from our hearts. Thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his brothers plot against him and they leave him for dead in the well. The story is well known. He is then picked up by some travelers and he goes to Egypt and he goes into the house of the minister. And it is there that he faces perhaps the biggest test of his life, something that you and I can relate to in our daily lives, where the wife of the minister tries to seduce him. She invites him towards sin. At that time, what is the reaction of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Something that you and I can take lesson from in our daily lives, whether a person is in school, is in university, or he goes to his shop every day, or he goes to the office every day. Each and every one of us are faced with these temptations. Now it is the time of school holidays. Youngsters will be going to different places. Perhaps we are going out on holiday. We will meet different people. We will go to different places. And this temptation of the opposite gender, where at every step there is an invitation to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dress code is such that a person is forced to look. The atmosphere and environment is such that if he does not greet and he does not display what is termed as politeness and good manners, he is looked down upon. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is faced with this situation, this difficulty, this test is in front of him. And the wife of the minister, she's a woman of power. She has the backing of the government. And she says that I will seduce this youngster. I will have my way with him. And if he turns me down, if he refuses, then immediately I will have him put into the prison cell. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is faced. On one hand, there is upholding the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there is a dark, dingy prison cell waiting for him. At that juncture, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. O my Rabb, O my Creator, that prison cell is more beloved to me than breaking one command of yours. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then do? Look at the end of the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, how does Allah clear his name? Allah brings those same brothers who had plotted his downfall, Allah brings them at his feet. Allah brings the entire country of Egypt at his feet. Allah puts him in charge. He is given authority. He is given status in the land. Why? Because he chose to uphold the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be that for one da'wah and function, for one meal in the name of family ties, in the name of maintaining good relationships within the family, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken. It is just one wedding. It is just one walima. It is just one bride. And we will get to meet the family. My children will meet their cousins. I will meet my cousins, my aunts and uncles. But the commands of Allah are being broken. Men and women are intermingling. This cousin is speaking to that cousin. And this auntie is speaking to that uncle. And in the name of family ties and upholding family ties, we are breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be that at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a decision. And hidayat is taken away. Thereafter, khasira dunya wal akhirah. Not only in this world will a person lose respect, but in the hereafter as well. Therefore, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that in every moment, every step of my life, I keep the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of me. What does Allah want from me at this moment? And I make sure I keep the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above my intellect and my intelligence. Because my intellect and intelligence may dictate one thing, but the commands of Allah are something else. And then he says, I keep my intellect and my intelligence above my emotions. Because a person's emotions do not lead him in the straight direction. So he says, follow this, keep the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. Then your intellect and intelligence, and thereafter, lastly, your emotions. In this way you will find that the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be upheld. A person will lead a life that is on sirat al-mustaqim, that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will see not only in the hereafter, but in this world, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. Izzah, honor, respect, love is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant a person such respect and honor that he will not find in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.